new Pandemic DLC pack just dropped, and it could be 100 times worse than any of the previous updates to the less sick but addicting game called Life on Earth. According to scientists, of course. The H5N1 bird flu, according to bird researcher Dr. Shushi Kuchipudi, sorry for butchering that, says we are getting dangerously close to this virus potentially causing a pandemic. Quote, we are not really talking about a virus that is yet to make the jump. We are talking about a virus that is globally present, already infecting a range of mammals, and is circulating. It is really high time that we are prepared. According to the World Health Organization, there have been 462 deaths out of 887 cases since 2003. So what does this tell us? This tells us that there's another deadly disease on the horizon in which they're going to try and scare us and control us. I'm not trying to downplay it to the point of not being mindful, be careful, or researching. I'm promoting researching it. I bring this up because every time they come up with a new COVID or a new pandemic and it circles around the media, we need to be watching it carefully. The COVID lockdowns, procedures, and vaccine have caused irreparable harm to society, to our families, to our businesses, to this country, and we can't allow a COVID part two. The left saw that it could control a population with fear, and we won't allow that to happen again. We can't allow that to happen again. I'm Pierce Crawford, and welcome to the Crawford Press. Happy Friday, everybody. Hoping you all have a wonderful day. Boeing paid Alaska Airlines $160 million in compensation after the door plug incident on Alaska Flight 1282, according to the SEC filing from the carrier. This, according to ABC News from Alaska, said the money's initial compensation from Boeing to address the financial damages incurred as a result of Flight 1282 and the 737-9 MAX groundings, the filing states. For those who don't remember this case of the door plug thing, well, this is what happened. Picture taking a flight on January 5th, leaving the Portland International Airport. You take your seat next to the window, and as you're rising 10,000 feet into the air, suddenly your window becomes a lot bigger. Well, the entire panel becomes your window. That is what happened on the flight, and I'm glad Boeing is having to finally pay up. I remember growing up hearing Boeing and it being considered the top of the line, top safety. When you fly, you want to fly Boeing. In recent years, my sentiment has flipped completely on them and to the organization that really doesn't seem to take pride in their work to the point of making air travel really seem unsafe. Boeing needs to pay up a lot, and hopefully, we get both answers and return to quality from the company. Moving right along here, in the Florida classified documents case, Judge Cannon has denied former President Donald Trump's bid for dismissal. According to AP News, this 1978 statute known as the Presidential Records Act was used in demanding that the case of one of the four against the presumptive Republican nominee be tossed out before trial. That law requires presidents upon leaving office to turn over presidential records to the federal government, but permits them to retain purely personal papers. Trump's lawyers have said he designated the records as personal, making them his own property, and that the decision can not be second-guessed in court. Prosecutors on Special Counsel Jack Smith's team countered that law had no relevance to the case concerning the mishandling of classified documents and said the files Trump is alleged to have hoarded at his Mar-a-Lago estate in Palm Beach, Florida, were unquestionably presidential records, not personal ones, and therefore had to be returned to the government when Trump left office. Really, this was a long shot for Mr. Trump, and in a personal opinion of mine, do I really think he should have been charged for this case at all? No, not really. Not by the slightest, especially with him being the president of the United States. And since they're not going to charge Vice President Mike Pence for the same thing, or especially Vice President Joe Biden at the time. So the problem for the former president really is he said this all on recording, stating he knew they were classified, showed them off, and said, I could have declassified these while as president, but now that I'm not, I can't declassify them. That is as black and white as it comes. Whether it is fair or not that he's being charged, if a jury is being honest on whether or not he committed a crime, it's pretty cut and dry. The real question is how long can Donald J. Trump drag this thing out? He needs to drag out all these cases as long as possible past when he hopefully becomes president. Because if he does not become president, he's going to prison for the rest of his life. I'm not trying to be cute here. He's a political prisoner, and the left will make sure he is locked up. This country, if this is the new standard, this country is going downhill fast. And to anyone who says that it's about the law and no one is above it, Sure, if that was the standard, Hillary Clinton would be in jail for the emails, Joe Biden for the classified documents and bribes, Obama or Bush for the alleged war crimes. No, Donald Trump is hated by the established Republicans and the entire Democratic Party, so he will be the only victim here. I really think Kathy Hochul is right about the points of saying this is a special case. It really is a special case. Donald J. Trump is getting charged, and there's no precedent for it. Final story we got for you today. A Harvard law professor says the school should abandon mandatory diversity, equity, and inclusion statements, otherwise known as DEI. Reading from Randall Kennedy's article in the Harvard Crimson directly. At Harvard and elsewhere, hiring for academic jobs increasingly requires these so-called diversity statements, which Harvard's Derek Box Center for Teaching and Learning describes as being about your commitment to further EDIB within the context of institutions of higher education. By requiring academics to profess and flaunt faith in DEI, the proliferation of diversity statements poses a profound challenge to academic freedom. He continues saying candidates for academic positions at Harvard should not be asked to support ideological commitments. Imagine the howl of protest that would, or should, erupt if a school at Harvard asked a candidate for a facility position to submit a statement for their orientation towards capitalism or patriotism or making America great again with a clear expectations of allegiance. Such pressure constitutes an encroachment upon the intellectual freedom that ought to be part of the enjoyment of academic life. Demands for DEI statements are also counterproductive to efforts to undo the effects of long overlooked invidious social discriminations in academia. This couldn't be more true. Requiring allegiance to any ideology is so counterproductive. Now, I would recommend reading the article from the professor in its entirety to fully understand his opinion on the matter, and don't want anyone to take my statements as I'm trying to say things that aren't there. I'm going to use this as a diving board, so please read his article. According to Pew Research Center survey, for a majority of employed U.S. adults, 56%, focusing on increasing DEI at work is a good thing. Most workers have some experience with DEI measures at their workplace. About 6 in 10, 61%, say their company organization has policies that ensure fairness in hiring, pay, or promotions, and 52% say they have trainings or meetings on DEI at work. I think this is hilarious. Hiring process has never been fair, period. When you walk into an interview, you are being judged on how you look, you speak, your thinking on your feet attitude, your resume, and if you're going to go against a colleague for a promotion, favoritism. Now, the real question is, should someone not get a job because of sex or race? Obviously not. But what ideas like DEI and affirmative action have done is pushed out students who deserve it, or if a person actually deserves the job, gets in, that individual is seen as getting into the job because of these programs. Discriminatory practices push more discriminatory towards even the people that they want to help. It's unfortunate, but that's how it is. Also, unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today. Be sure to follow the show wherever you get your podcasts, and I'm Pierce Crawford, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.